Well, welcome to the Orange Kids Podcast, where we talk about the big ideas of kids ministry and discuss practical solutions to our week-to-week challenges. We're so glad to be back with you this week. I've got some friends with me today, my co-hosts, my buddies. Kellen is right over here.
Hello.
How are you today, Kellen? Oh, that was,
I sang because of what we're talking about.
There was some vibrato in that. That was impressive.
What can I say?
I'm impressed. We also have no less than the Mike Clear with us. Mike, how are you?
I feel like I should sing.
I know.
Hello. That's all I got. I'm sorry.
That was a little better.
Hi.
That's are you right. Beatboxing? You can beatbox and rap.
Yeah, exactly.
I forgot that's about right. that.
Or a 45-year-old white male, I can. Yes,
I was completely unaware that Mike can beatbox. I think we've got a really great ending to the podcast today. A little bit of beatboxing, a little bit of Kellen's ditties. I mean, guys, stay tuned because this is really going to be fun.
It's going to be special, guys.
It's going to be special. Well, we're talking about a pretty practical challenge that a lot of us face as children's ministry leaders every week when we are trying to create an experience for kids where they will engage in worship. And we want to do that in preschool. We want to do that in elementary. But I don't know about you, but one of the biggest challenges that I face a lot of times is how do you engage kids well in the worship aspect of your experience?
Yeah.
One of the things that I find absolutely fascinating is when you don't give a second grade boy something to do, you know, they're going to create their own fun.
They will find something quickly.
And it's, I mean, and always inevitably during that worship portion, when the music comes on and maybe the lights drop a little bit, suddenly that room, that environment with all these elementary age kids turns into something like a running track.
They start running, and it's, I think there's something in worship music that invokes kids having to go to the bathroom as well.
Isn't that fascinating?
As soon as it starts, they
it
all need to go to the restroom.
It does have a diuretic effect to it,
the Lord
it?
Moves in many ways during worship time.
Everybody's got to go to the bathroom, I know. I would say, you know, just before we hit record on this, one of the things that I was talking about was how when I walk into, you know, I lead ministry boots on the ground at Cross Point Church in Nashville. And when I walk into an elementary environment at any one of our campuses, I would say that the one part of that experience for an elementary age student that I would say the volunteers feel like they're not winning is during worship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we've not established a strong worship culture yet. Yeah. Which is what makes me so excited about today's conversation, because today we have a worship ministry expert with us, Jenna Kirkendall. I almost said that wrong, didn't I, Jenna? I'm so sorry.
That is okay.
Jenna, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just great. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you for bringing your expertise into this conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite. I'm happy to be here. And don't worry, I get that all the time. My name looks like Kirkendall, but it's actually pronounced as if the Y was an R. But like I say, for the past 21 years, the guy who gave me the name is well worth the hassle. So,
that's good.
Good to say.
Yeah. Way back when we had landlines, we always knew when it was a sales call because nobody could pronounce our name.
Nobody could say it right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jenna, I grew up with the maiden name Moneypenny. And that's how we always knew a sales call is they would insist that Moneypenny was wrong. So maybe it should be Montgomery because that's super close.
Moneypenny?
Yeah. Isn't that a great
that
last name?
That seems like Money a James Penny. Bond villain's last
yes,
name.
You know it
what?
Does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Well,
Moneypenny.
Yeah. Moneypenny. My husband and I have been married for 25 years now. And I said, you know what? How about for the next 25? Because I'll re-up.
Right.
You know, that's right. I'll re-up for the next 25 if we can swap names. And maybe from here forward, we take my name.
That's a great plan.
That'd be the best. Well, let me share with our audience about you, Jenna. You are a worship leader. As a volunteer, you lead worship for kids at your church at Mountaintop Community Church in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep, Roll Tide.
I was waiting for that. I knew it was coming.
I knew that was coming.
Just give me a little bit of space for that. So, not only do you serve as a volunteer in leading in that capacity, but you also are a songwriter, you are a singer, you produce worship albums for that are geared towards kids and preschoolers. You even produce resources for churches to use so that kids ministry leaders like us, like myself, can build a worship culture within our kids ministries. And in addition to that, I mean, with all that spare time that you have, you also write songs for Orange Curriculum. And so for those of you in the audience and our listening audience who use First Look content, then you're going to recognize some of the songs that Jenna writes for us.
Yeah.
So we're just thrilled to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, why don't we just go ahead and get started and dig into some of the typical challenges that a ministry leader is dealing with. In fact, one of the things that, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when I walk into a kids ministry environment, an elementary environment, mm-hmm. I'm either going to see a second grader running laps around the perimeter of the room, or I'm going to see that fifth grade boy, right, leaning up against the back wall, arms crossed, mm-hmm. you know, legs crossed, checking out like, dude, this is not for me. Let's just start right there.
Yep.
Jenna, what would you say to a ministry leader who's facing that challenge today?
Yep. So I've been doing this for almost 20 years now, and that never changes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because it's so easy for us to say that fifth grade boy.
Yeah, sure.
It really is any of that preteen age. Mm. I have a ninth grade son, seventh grade daughter, and a fifth grade son, and they have all three in their own timing, in their own phase, gone through that, you know, in that children's ministry worship environment. I am just too cool for school.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, they've all grown up watching mom,
right?
You know, so they've been on stage with me before, you know, when they were little, they would want to get up there, but then they were all in that phase where they're like, whatever, mm-hmm. sitting in the back with their arms crossed. But I've experienced that for years and years. And my first rule of engagement, if you want to use that term, is my job as a worship leader does not begin with the first beat of the first song. Hmm. My job as a worship leader actually begins when the first kid walks in the room.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm in there, so, you know, it's important for me not to just be standing back at the tech booth, you know, struggling to get my mic on.
Yeah.
But I've already done that. I've already prepared what I need to do to get ready to lead worship. But when the first kid walks in the room, I'm at the door high-fiving them, saying, hi, what's up, Tommy? How you doing? Oh my gosh, your mom posted on Facebook that you threw a touchdown pass. That was awesome.
Yeah. So you're engaging them right from the beginning.
Yes. And again, you know, like making it personal.
Mm, mm.
The more that I'm engaged with the kids one-on-one and face-to-face before the first song starts, the more likely they are going to be engaged with me when I'm leading worship.
There's so much truth in that. You know what? I'm making this connection right now. When we would take mm-hmm. our kids to camp.
Yeah.
And that something shifted one year when those who were on stage leading worship engaged in the activities outside during the day.
Absolutely.
We got a completely different response from them in the evening when those leaders were back up on stage, because the kids were more invested.
Yeah.
Like they just felt more connected.
Absolutely.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. When we meet for a prayer huddle before our large group starts, we'll pray, but then it's always with enough time before our first song starts that I, you know, say to my team of either middle schoolers or high schoolers, mm-hmm. or sometimes we'll even pull in the fourth and fifth graders to lead worship with us.
Yeah.
I'll say, okay, now for these 5 minutes while the kids are coming in and we've got pre-service, you know, pump up videos, silly videos, whatever, now is the time for you to go and get, you know, face to face with as many kids as you can. High fiving the kids, fist bumping the kids, especially those, you know, kindergartners or first graders who might be in the room for the first time, and they're seeing all the lights and they're really nervous and they're scared. But your smile or your connection with them as a worship leader might make all the difference.
Wow.
You know, you have an opportunity through your body language to say, I am so glad you're here. We're going to have a blast.
Yeah.
You know, so just making that one-on-one connection, making it personal, getting to know the kids' names, mm-hmm. even if you've got, you know, 200 kids in your large group, that's going to take you maybe weeks to get to know their names. But taking the time to do that, I think makes a world of difference.
I love how that sets the tone from the beginning.
Yeah.
That you care about their experience. And how much of a connection you have once you step up on that stage.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get their attention.
Right.
You know, yeah. You're trying to get them to refocus on you so that they'll follow you basically
right.
into that song. And by building that connection from the beginning, that's just powerful.
Yeah.
That is such a great tip. I love that. And again, using your middle school and high schoolers, encouraging them to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because for a high schooler who's roaming the room and connecting with those elementary age kids, that's huge.
Yeah. And I think for my son, who's now in ninth grade, when he was in fifth grade, mm-hmm. you know, he was one of those boys sitting in the back with his arms crossed, like, oh my gosh, first of all, I'm too cool for this. Second of all, my mom,
right? Right.
And mom, why are you wearing pigtails today? Oh my gosh. You know, but when his small group leader who was in college went over to him and said, hey man, during this next song, let's see if you can jump higher than I can.
Oh wow. That's good.
That was it. That's all he needed.
Oh, that's good.
And he was engaged. So that's another rule of engagement for me is it's not. So as a worship leader, I'm a team with those small group leaders. Yeah. Like I need them because, you know, it would be easy for the small group leaders to once the songs start kind of think, oh, sweet, I've got 12 minutes to check out.
Exactly.
I'm going to look at Twitter real quick.
Yeah.
I can sit down and just kind of let, you know, but no, actually they have such an opportunity to set the tone because the kids will cue off of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is when I say, when I do training with volunteers and worship leaders, this is when I go, hey guys, you know, I just turned 42. I'm up here dancing around like a goofball. If I can do it, you can do it. And when you walk through that door, go ahead and leave your pride at the door. Just come out. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know,
that's
really and we good. Talk about 2 Samuel chapter 6. It's my favorite story about worship in the Bible. When King David, you know, says he's dancing before the Lord with all of his might. You know, his wife was mocking him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he's like, who cares? I'll become even more undignified than this. Oh, and so powerful. Just that challenge to the volunteers in the room, the small group leaders, hey, you guys are worship leaders too. Mm-hmm. I might be the one with the microphone up here, but you are also leading worship.
Yeah.
And so that's another way to engage, you know, to get the adults and the middle schoolers and high schoolers involved too.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I was at a campus, one of our campuses last week, and the campus leader invited me to step into elementary. She said, can you just observe? Because I'm hearing some feedback from our small group leaders that the host / worship leader. So in this scenario, the host is also the worship leader, right? Uh-huh. The host / worship leader is just a little too harsh with the kids from the platform. And I said, I'd be happy to observe. So I'm sitting in there and I'm watching what's happening. And Jenna, just what you described, when worship begins, it's as if the small group leaders felt like I'm off now. And so they kind of gravitated to the back perimeter of the room, which left the guy who's a college student, you know, the only one with a microphone, left him in the position to need to not just lead worship, but also to try to engage the crowd.
Wrangle.
Yeah. And it turned into discipline is really what it turned into. So, mm-hmm. you know, at the end, we just talked for a few minutes and I said, well, I can see where that comes from because the small group leaders don't know what their role is during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
You know, they think their role is crowd control or just not even engaged. And instead their role is to participate with their students and to demonstrate what behavior they want to model, what they want the kids to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that can be a feeling of helplessness and kind of feeling out of control when, as the worship leader, you're up there and maybe your small group leaders are completely disengaged. And so, all of a sudden, like maybe that host maybe started scolding the kids, like, come on, stand up. You know, I don't know
what
they were doing, but that's this helpless feeling. But I think at some point, because I've had that moment where I'm up there singing a song and I'm thinking about the lyrics. I'm thinking about the words. I'm thinking about the choreography. You know, there are a million things going through your mind at one time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there's kind of this sense of panic, like, oh my gosh, this is like herding cats. The kids are everywhere. They're rolling around on the floor.
Right.
So that can be a really helpless feeling. So I think there needs to be a lot of training and vision casting on the front end.
I like it.
With your small group leader saying, hey guys, I need you. But also at the same time, I think maybe there have been, you know, a couple conversations with a certain, let's say a fifth grade boy, hey buddy, come on, stand up, dude, come on. You know, and I think like I've had, you know, that quote unquote one kid that just is never engaged. And after a while I've had to just tell myself, you know what? Let it go.
No,
this is not a reflection of your worship leadership. Your job is to point kids to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's job is to do the work.
That's good.
And you know, the word is being proclaimed, and so you know, like, let go. Don't force a kid to do what he's maybe not able to do. And also there could be, you know, one time I had a little girl, she was in second grade, and I knew her mom was in the hospital. And she was not in the mood at all to stand up and jump and be happy clappy. But she sat down and she just sat there and she took it in, and her small group leader, who was making it personal, who knew what was going on in her life, just sat there with her arm around her. And so to me, in that way, that small group leader was helping lead her in worship.
Oh, that's good. Absolutely. That's good. That's
really— there are some churches out there, be it church plants, smaller churches, that are more video based in their teaching time, and also in their worship time, where they may not have a worship leader to do that, just because of limited volunteers. So is there something you would say to them to say, hey, we play the video and I feel like kids, just because I don't know what to do during this time, what would you say to them to help them keep kids engaged when they don't have a someone on stage with a microphone?
Yeah. So I would say, first of all, don't get discouraged. I think it's easy to look on, you know, videos or Facebook and those, you know, Kidmin pages and see what other churches are doing. And it's easy to get discouraged. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. So it's easy to go, oh man, look at what that church is doing. Gosh, we don't have a budget for that. We don't have all the sound and lights and the fancy bells and whistles. But that's where it's great, you know, the resources that Orange Kids Music puts out and that Rethink puts out, because we can, you can just plug and play. You can turn on those videos. Someone stand up there and just go, you know, you can have your host or your children's pastor or whatever stand up and say, hey kids, stand up. We're going to, you know, we're going to watch this video and go and, you know, sing along with them. But I think it also, it's okay if you're not a fantastic singer. You can lead worship if you're just up there doing the moves. You can Milli Vanilli it. You can look at it.
Milli Vanilli.
You know, that's what's great about all the different resources, is you can sing to the instrumental. You can sing on top. I actually prefer to sing on top of a full track, because then I don't have the pressure to carry it vocally, because I'm doing the call outs or the, hey, come on, let's jump or whatever. Even if it's my own song, I actually prefer to sing on top of my own vocal, because then I can do the jumps.
I so appreciate that.
That's See, good. Did I answer your question, Mike? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was great.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So practically speaking, we've heard so far that, that worship engagement begins when the doors open, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It's getting that worship leader. It's getting anybody that's going to be on that platform as part of worship to engage the kids from the beginning so they can make it personal. I love how you keep pushing that in there.
Yeah.
Make it personal. It's powerful. The other thing we've heard is to train our small group leaders to know their role during that time, which is to model. We want them to model what they want their students to do and to worship with them.
Absolutely. Yep.
So that's really good. Anything else you would add to that?
Well, I have a question, Jenna. I would say engagement, I think, also has to do just with music selection, right? Like what are the type of songs? What are the style of songs that I was talking to a church leader last week about some of our worship albums, and you know, I say, hey, how do your kids like them? She's like, oh, they're it wasn't a positive review. He's like, they're fine. They're not used to the style of them. And she's like, are you guys maybe going to make some that kids are hearing on the radio? And I'm like, well, the style of the songs that we try to create on our worship albums are what kids are listening to on modern radio to do that. What she was referencing was what kids are listening to on Christian radio.
Right.
And I didn't say this out loud, but I said, what kid is listening to Christian radio by choice?
By
they might
choice,
listen to it in the minivan on the way, you know, running errands and stuff. But can you talk about just music selection and, yes. And how that helps engage kids
yeah.
in worship as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think that brings it back to getting to know your kids, getting to know the kids in your room. Hey, what are your favorite artists? Hey, did you like that new Tori Kelly album? Hey, how about the new Shawn? Oh, I saw you were going to the Shawn Mendes concert with your sister. I'm so jealous. You know, getting to know what they like. This summer, our kids' favorite song was Every Beat. Okay. And Every Beat was on the Power Up, you know, VBS CD. Mm-hmm. My heart beats only for your glory. Oh, it was huge. The kids loved it. We actually started doing it in big church.
Yeah.
And that was so fun. Mm-hmm. So I think I think Rethink and Orange Kids Music does such a phenomenal job of getting with the heartbeat of what kids love and are listening to and matching it that. But also, that's not the only option. I actually lead worship for a church in Colorado during the summer, and they recently switched over to a live band. Hmm. They've got a great group of volunteers that want to do worship live. So they do worship live. So you don't have to, I mean, there are so many great resources. Yeah. Orange Kids, Yancey, mm-hmm. her stuff is fantastic. Yeah. Elevation Kids, mm-hmm. Hillsong Kids.
Yep.
There's so many good resources out there. And it's not just the songs, but you can get the live lyrics and the dance videos. Actually, I've got one thing that I send out to my teams. I've got a little hidden link on my website with choreography videos. And I've got a camera behind me and a camera in front of me. Mm-hmm. So they're seeing a split screen. So they can see, you know, if my hands are waving to the right, they see what it looks like from behind.
Yeah.
And you can see the mirror image as well. So there are so many great resources. And I think it also just goes with what music, you know, like you were saying, if every kid in your large group loves hip hop, do some hip hop worship, you know, if they all love Stephen Curtis Chapman, I was his biggest fan in the early 90s.
Saddle up your horses, everyone. Here we go.
Saddle up. We're diving in. So then you can pull out some Caleb.
Oh my gosh, some Caleb. That would be perfect. I've watched your training videos, Jenna, the tutorials that have the angle from the front and the back with the dance moves. It's such a great way to resource a worship leader.
Yeah.
Or somebody who's leading in worship. You know, to resource them so they can learn dance moves pretty easily. So
are those available somewhere?
So, yes, some of them for my songs songs that I've written are available for purchase on my website, mm-hmm. JennaKirkendall.com.
Nice.
Well, Jenna, let's say that we've got a wide audience of children's ministry leaders that listen to this podcast. And I know I fall in the category a lot of times of, you know, slim budget, tight budget.
Yeah.
There are things, as I mentioned, there are some changes I want to make to my worship experience in elementary and in preschool, and things that I want to tweak and make better, but budget dollars are tight. And so if you're talking to a ministry leader who just has zero to no budget, how do they improve or even create a worship culture with that kind of a constraint?
Yeah. I think using the resources that Orange puts out with the videos. I mean, it's so great. Again, you can just plug and play. Mm-hmm. I think you don't have to have the room with all the, you know, thousands of dollars of lighting and set. I mean, yes, that's fantastic. But if you don't have that, mm-hmm. that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone on, you know, mission trips where we've just got a guitar mm-hmm. and, you know, and a couple singers and a couple people there and just, we're just dancing and getting to know the kids and pointing them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And that is what is most important. That's what we're there to do.
Yeah.
We can do that with $0.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, because not everybody has a subscription to a curriculum that gives them access to videos. Some do. And if you do, that's great, because that's very helpful.
Yeah.
But even if you don't have that, even if what you have is access to public domain YouTube videos, or just access to a high school student, middle school student, or just somebody who has a willing heart and a good voice,
mm-hmm.
they could stand up. Because even if they follow just what you shared so far, engage them when the doors open.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that everybody in the room knows what their role is during that worship. And then you've got somebody who has the ability to capture the audience.
Yeah.
And to lead them in worship. Then I think that's the encouraging part, Jenna, is the fact that you don't have to have a high budget in order to be able to have really quality worship in your kids' ministry. But that it does require paying attention and being intentional with just a few key things that we've talked about.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we use the bells and whistles and the fancy videos and awesome tracks. You know, I love building an awesome track. I love putting out a song that's fantastic that people want to listen to. But I think we can use those as a crutch.
We can.
And think, gosh, I'm such a good worship leader because look how awesome everything sounds and looks.
Yeah.
But we can use those as a crutch sometimes and lose focus on why we're there, you know?
Gosh, that's good. Because I can imagine, Jenna, nothing replaces your eye contact. Nothing replaces your encouragement from the stage, from the platform.
Yeah.
You know, nothing replaces your smile when you're encouraging a kid to engage.
Yeah.
You know, a video isn't going to do that. And great soundtracks are not going to do that. They could add to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it doesn't replace you as a worship leader.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. And I think it's so important to build, to cast that vision constantly. Mm. I'm in a stage of my life where, you know, I've been doing this for 20 years and.
And you were like five when you started, right?
You were five. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I turned 42 yesterday. So I'm like,
no, happy birthday.
Yes. Thank you. I am owning the 40s. I'm showing
happy
them.
Birthday.
But I am in this probably the last 8 or 10 years, I've just kind of developed this new passion for training up the next generation of worship leaders. To me, there's nothing that gives me greater joy than handing the mic to a middle schooler or a high schooler who's got great, you know, stage presence and wants to do well. And there's no greater joy than just stepping back and watching them. Cause I'm like, they're the ones who are going to be up here in the next 10 years.
That's amazing.
I'm not most likely, you know, I kind of find myself transitioning into more of a mentor role, but I love it. Like it's this new passion of mine to not even be up there for every song, but to lead other kids and other students in doing that.
To be able to do that. Oh my gosh. That's great. Well, I want to make a turn just a little bit because you know, we've been talking primarily about elementary age kids, but there's another group that we have the opportunity to influence, and that's preschoolers. What would you say about preschoolers worshiping? What can that look like?
Oh, I love preschool worship because it's like herding cats.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is awesome. I mean, there are those moments when you think, gosh, are they hearing a word I'm saying? Are they, you know, they're sitting there picking their nose or rolling around on the floor. Are they even hearing it? But that's where, you know, going back to earlier, that's where you just let go and trust that the Holy Spirit is planting the seed.
What did you say? How many, you know, if we're getting practical in terms of, you know, what a worship element should look like for preschoolers, then how many kids would you say is just the right number? How many is too many? What could a room look like for what that you bring kids into for worship? So assuming that you combine ages and take them into a separate environment where they might hear the Bible story and sing some songs, how many songs would you do? Is it, what's the sweet spot? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four?
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through some of those things.
Yeah. In my experience, it's probably like two or three songs at the top.
Okay.
And then we engage them in either a, you know, a video or a memory verse, or, you know, that's where we bring in Ollie, and then one or two songs to end. Mm. And it also, with the size of the group, it also depends on, I think, the success of that large group time also depends on how many adult helpers you have, how many small group leaders are there. Because if it's just you and 50 preschoolers,
not great.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Not great. Yeah.
That's a marathon. Yeah. But if you've got a bunch of small group leaders on hand helping you, then I think it's completely doable.
Got it. Yeah.
That's
all
good.
Right. So two to three songs, then you get into the rest of your elements. Make sure you have a good number of small group leaders to help to engage the kids. That's helpful.
And I think songs that are high energy that get them jumping and moving. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's going to be a workout for you.
Yeah.
And a good energy expense for them. At least we hope so.
And actually, one thing about that I forgot to say, if I have time, this actually applies to both preschool and elementary, I think it's completely okay to stop and have a moment where it's quiet And maybe it's just, you know, maybe for the either for elementary and preschool, maybe the first two or three songs were high energy, you know, we're jumping and dancing, but then it's okay maybe at the end to pull it down and just one person on a guitar or a keyboard. And that could be a teaching moment where you go, hey guys, we're going to sing a song. And in this song, we're going to sing the word surrender. Here's what surrender means. You know, it's okay to take those teaching moments too, to also bring it down. And sometimes those are when your kids are most engaged because it's not really loud. It's just you.
Yeah.
So sometimes that will engage them the most. I've actually seen that where sometimes if it's just one voice and one instrument, they're even more engaged than when I'm asking 100 of them to jump.
I love that because there's a little bit of a trust there. What you're communicating to the kids is I trust you to treat this moment well, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it is an opportunity to kind of bring it down and bring a different tone to it. So thank you for adding that. That's really good.
Yeah,
man, there's so much we could talk about. So much more that we could talk about as it relates to worship with kids. Jenna, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. Wow. It's fun.
It was fun. Well, you're fun. So that certainly helps.
You are.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed this conversation. We hope that you enjoyed this episode. And in fact, if you would love to know more, then we would love for you to share this. Maybe you were listening and you thought of somebody that needs to hear the content in this podcast, they need to hear this conversation, then we would just say, hey, pass it along. In fact, a great way to get the word out about this podcast is, one, would you subscribe? Just hit that subscribe button. That way, this will drop into your inbox. What does it drop into, by the way, when you subscribe to a podcast?
It's just your podcast feed, right?
Your podcast feed. App?
Yeah.
Is that what we call that?
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what the kids are calling it.
That's what the kids are calling it. You make me sound old, Mike. But yes, and here's the fun part about it. This fits in your budget. It's absolutely free. So just hit subscribe. And you know what would help even more, actually, is if you would leave us a review. Give us a rating. Tell us what you think. Leave us a review. It helps to get the word out about the podcast so that more people can discover us. Here's another way that you can connect. If you want to connect with us more, just get onto Facebook, onto the Orange Kids Podcast Facebook page, or you can go to orangekidmen.com. And you can connect with us further there. So glad you could join us this week, and we'll see you next time. Mr. Kellen, it's time. Why don't you take us out with a little ditty?
Here we go. Our podcast was so amazing, and Jenna is a great lady. So share this podcast with all your friends.
That was well done.
That was very worshipful.
That was amazing. I just got saved again.